From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to Player 61. I mean, welcome to Episode 24 of the Sens Call-Ups for Friday, May 10th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here with the usual suspects, Pan and Canuck. The playoffs are underway, and it seems like all memories of the lockout are long forgotten in fans' minds. The Senators dispatched the Habs in five games, including two 6-1 blowouts, and showed that this team is tough, it's gritty, and it's nothing like the mid-2000s teams, which were all finesse, but no grind. Fans have got Sens fever, and the only prescription is more pesky. Pan, got any voice left after last night?
My throat hurts, absolutely.
It was a little crazy.
Yeah.
Canuck, yeah. Got enough tequila to get through this show?
We're good. All right.
Mas we're pesky. Tequila?
Well, got a lot of email to get to tonight, which I'm really happy to see.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long show.
It's going to be a long show, so let's get to these recaps, get them over with, and get to talking about what we really want to talk about.
I just want to talk to you guys a bit here. Canuck, you had date night tonight?
We did.
Yeah, yeah. Cardinal, you had, I keep telling you, we're just friends dinner tonight?
No.
Oh, so it was a date night.
No, it wasn't one of those either.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I hate to. I'm sorry to break it to you that way.
That's right. I had toast. Game on!
It feels so good to say playoff game number one. We're in the playoffs. Let's drop the puck. Let's get going. And to give credit to the Montreal Canadiens, it was only 10 minutes worth of opening ceremony for a playoff game. Not the start of the season, just the start of the playoffs.
I lost the over-under on that.
I thought for the Habs, that's pretty quick. Only 10 minutes? Not bad.
I was guessing on four laps of that kid. You know, he goes around with the torch, and he stopped at 3.5. So close.
Well, actually, going with that, I loved the Habs website when they were in the playoffs. You know, back when that was something.
Yesterday,
nice.
Because they had on their website like all those little flames. It's like they would light one for each win. How pathetic did that homepage look? It was just sad.
It was a little upsetting, I'm sure, for Habs fans. Anyway, game starts with the checking line on the ice, which I thought was an interesting way for. That was just the beginning of the mind games played by our coach, and we'll be talking about some of those for sure, because there were a lot of them going on, and he did a brilliant job at it. But started with the checking line, and as usual, the crowd in the Bell Center, every time there was a Montreal Canadian on the ice, even if it was they that were throwing the check and falling to the ice because they were small. That was one of your sound clips there. It was every time there was a Hab on the ice, they're calling for a penalty. It was just ridiculous.
I couldn't believe that.
Not quite like that. Man, they have
not
changed.
They're more homers than Homer's a homer.
Exactly. This game, I mean, it was exciting to watch, but there were long periods, kind of like the Washington games. There was a lot long periods where nothing in particular was going on, but it was exciting hockey to watch. It wasn't boring hockey. It was just continuous. The 7-minute mark of the first period, the shots were already 5-2 Montreal. And it just kept going, but the game just kept going. There weren't a lot of whistles. There was a lot of end-to-end work, but pretty exciting to watch. Brandon Prust took a boarding call at just after 11 minutes into the period. The first power play unit looked really bad, but the second power play unit, which this particular time was Silverberg, Latendresse, and Zibanejad, had a lot of shots, but they just kept missing the net. They just weren't getting them onto the net. Near the end of the period, there was a beauty rush by, started off by Carlson off his stick to Turris to, I can't even read my own notes. That's how tired I am tonight.
The Turris. Senators player.
Thank you. I should just play. Oh, the Sens player is up the ice. Oh, look out.
Welcome to my world, man.
Exactly. Sorry. Carlson to Turris to Alfie, back to Turris, and in. It was a beautiful, beautiful goal, actually. Just one of those moments where things clicked and it worked well. At the end of the first period, the shots were 12 for the Sens and 14 for the Habs. The second period, right at the 92nd mark, there was the very questionable but never actually talked about at a league level hit by PK Subban on Chris Neal up against the boards up high.
Clean hit.
Yeah, right. No, we don't even need to talk about that, even though it was to his head and it was up high because it was a golden boy on a tough boy, on a tough guy. So we don't need to talk about that. Conacher had a high sticking penalty. Oh, yeah. What?
Golden boy and a tough guy?
They love
Subban
Emily.
On Neal.
What?
Subban on Neal.
Oh, so, sorry.
I don't remember that part.
Yes, yes.
All right.
I remember this now.
Conacher was off for high sticking. It was a great penalty kill except for one last second rush, but Anderson made a huge save on Bork to keep the score at 1-0. Almost 5 minutes into the period, Ottawa had yet to have a shot on goal. It was not a particularly good start. Latondres was sprung up on a break on the left wing, but wasn't quite fast enough to catch up to the puck for a good shot on Carey Price. And so it went right until Bork scored at 13:09, shortly after Sen's power play expired. And then right after that was the clean body check by Eric Ryba on Emelin. Oh. Clean hit, but because it had a nasty result afterwards, it turned into a 5-minute major plus a game and eventually a 2-game suspension. But that was everybody in the world. I mean, I still think it was a clean hit, and I'm not being a homer about that. There was nothing wrong with it. It was a perfectly good hit with a catastrophically bad.
He destroyed him.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame the referees on the ice because that's just horrifying.
Well, I blame them a little bit because they call it interference. If you're going to call it a hit to the head, call it checking to the head.
Well, it's just like he got the puck and then right away he gets hit. So the timing, and you might not have seen it.
I can understand the need to call something because it was so catastrophic.
Yep. Exactly. And I mean, 5 minutes and a game was overdone. But okay, you made a mistake. You're erring on the side of whatever. All right, fine. But to have
it's typical Montreal, typical.
Well,
you might say it's pandering. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe do you want to do the clips now? You want to do it after the game?
Well, we'll do the clips after the game because they're really what happened after the game. So, 5 minutes plus a game. During that 5 minutes, Gallagher scored and the power play continued because it was a 5-minute major. With 2 minutes left in the major, Pageau was sent off for tripping against Subban. So, it was a long 5-on-3, which the Senators managed to kill off. So, there was only that one goal scored during that that 5-minute major. At the but the shots on goal for that period, 7 for the Senators. 27 for the Habs.
That was,
Start of the third period, things were better, but Sens fans were on edge. And at 3:27, Silverberg skates in, shoots, scores. Oh, that's nice. That's nice to see. Where was that from?
There's always a random fan going around chanting that kind of stuff.
Okay, sorry. And my mistake. That was actually the goal that tied it at 2-2. My mistake. Oh. Just over 2 minutes later, Alfie de Mathot scores. So now it's 3-2. Good stuff. And just after that, there was the coincidental minor for Gonchar for cross-checking and Prust for embellishing. Yeah, but Prust, who was trying to get under everybody's skin, well, he was a diver on that particular call. A little later in the period, there was the goal by Prust waved off after goalie contact and the stick to the throat of Anderson. No penalties. So you can make contact with a goalie and you can slash him, like high stick him across the throat, and that's okay. There's no penalty involved in that. We'll just wave the goal off. Just around the 14-minute mark, Latondres scored. That was reviewed for a long time because they weren't sure whether that was going to be a goal or not. Determined to be a good goal. That's the end of the scoring. Final shots on goal were Senators 31 and Habs 40. Now, after the game, I don't know exactly which clips you have here, Canuck. Why don't you walk us through what you have? Because there's so much that could be talked about after this game.
Well, there's the whole disrespect thing, but that's been blown out, and we all know about that one, right?
Insanity.
Yeah.
Absolute insanity.
Yeah, I gave Canuck a bit of homework here.
You did?
Yeah.
Is it math?
No.
Oh.
So it's the explanations in regards to the
The grab a hit.
To the grab a hit. So okay. Let's start off first with our good friend, Kerry Fraser.
Well, it's a clean hit with a bad result, James. The situation on the stretch pass from Rafael Diaz, Eric Greiva sees it, reads it perfectly. What he does is places his hip out, his shoulder down, his skates on the ice. He's driving forward off the center line of Eric Lars Eller. The contact is made here off the center line. From the back end, we see the hip is what makes the contact into the groin area. Down he goes, spins face first into the ice. It's a bad result from a very good setup and hit by Eric Greiva.
Now, there is contact with the head. You see his head snap, but we need to clarify, you can do that as long as there's sufficient body-on-body contact as well?
Well, what happened there was the secondary contact was, as he passed through and off the center line, the head of the
Eller
contacted the back shoulder cap of
Greiva.
Greiva, sorry.
Okay, so, again, it's tough to blame the officials on such a bang-bang play.
Not.
We looked at it 100
sure.
different times. But you're talking as far as supplementary discipline, you don't think there should be any?
I don't believe there should be. It's a good hit, but certainly from the official standpoint, they see the bad result.
That's pretty clear cut and dry, isn't it?
Yep. Very well explained.
One would think. Yep.
Yeah.
Very Let's well see what explained. The official word is from the league and how well they put it, how they see this.
Thursday night in Montreal, Ottawa defenseman Eric Greiva delivered an illegal check to the head of Montreal forward Lars Eller. As the video shows, Greiva is closing in on Eller in anticipation of Eller receiving a pass from his teammate. Just as Eller receives the pass, Greiva delivers the open ice hit. But in doing so, Greiva makes Eller's head the principal point of contact, causing a serious injury. As the illegal check to the head penalty states, a hit resulting in contact with an opponent's head, where the head is targeted and the principal point of contact is not permitted. We do not see malicious intent by Greiva on this play. Eller is eligible to be checked, and Greiva does not extend an elbow or launch into the head. However, Greiva's route is not correct, and we do not feel that he makes enough of a full body check for this hit not to qualify as an illegal check to the head. In our view, in attempting this very difficult check, Greiva does not hit squarely enough through the body. Eller's head is the principal point of contact, and the subsequent contact to Eller's right shoulder is secondary. It's important to note that while receiving a pass or carrying a puck anywhere on the ice, a hockey player bears some responsibility to be aware of an impending check. However, since the inception of the current illegal check to the head penalty, no player should expect that his head will be made the principal point of contact, whether intentionally or, as we feel occurs on this play, recklessly. Further, the pass that Eller received just prior to the check is completely irrelevant to whether or not Greiva delivers a reckless, illegal check to the head. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Eric Greiva for 2 games.
You know when you're look at a review or there's a commercial on toothpaste or something like that, and they say 9 out of 10 dentists agree, or 4 out of 5 doctors agree. Shanahan is that one dentist or that one doctor who's a real prick, and doesn't go with the
price.
The real price. The price is right. Because you had Kerry Fraser giving the explanation. You had like people that look at these kind of things, like Bob McKenzie, Darren Titian, it's a whole bunch of them. And everyone agreed it was not worthy of supplemental discipline. They understood the on-ice call, but not supplemental.
Even, I didn't watch a whole lot of RDS, but even RDS was saying the same thing. Like, yeah, it was a perfectly clean hit. It just had a bad result, but no.
So Shanahan shows, you can see the video on this, but shows the one angle where it looks like he does have the head as a primary point of contact and rolls with it.
Yeah. You know what that is?
That's it's typical! Montreal typical!
Thank you.
expected zero. But
I just wish that we could get Amy S30s. I'll comment on that, but I'm not allowed to use that language.
I was going to say, I don't think we could put that in a recording somehow.
Oh, man.
It would be
She's
good.
She's funny.
It would be good.
Scott Stevens!
Yeah. So that was that game.
Yeah.
We won the game, we lost Greiba. So, and the Habs lost Emlyn. So.
Yeah, and that's the whole suicide pass for number 61, and Therrien got all
pissy
about that.
He got bent out of shape over that one. Big style.
Yeah. For what?
He's doing his job. He's trying to deflect.
No, he's not doing a very good job at it.
But he did not do a good job.
He tried. He tried. I'm not saying it worked, but he certainly tried. All right, game two was Friday, May 3rd. Pan, you're up for this one.
All right, so game two, Cassian in, Benoit in, Greiba and Konecker out. Konecker was a little bit of a surprise there. For the Habs, 21 out, 67 out, 81 out. Wait for it. First period, no true offense pressure by the Sens. Gonchar gets slew-footed by 11. His stick hits 11 in the face while falling, and Gonch sits for two.
Montreal. Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that one.
8 gets a Foligno penalty. Finally. Finally gets the goalie interference call. A couple of other calls against the Habs, but an absolute brutal power play by the Sens, which is Ottawa typical. That we've known all year. Second period, much more pressure in this period. 31 gets run by 42 and loses a tooth. What? Another one? Habs get two within a minute by 53 off an EK gaff and 11 off a rebound. Then Big Rig seems to score. And I feel a lot more relaxed at this point, and I didn't realize that they gave it to McCulloch. So a couple of things with that is that that's kind of good, because otherwise the Big Rig streak would have ended, which I wouldn't be very happy about. Anyways, assist to Phillips and Benoit on that one. 8 gets another penalty for closing his hand on the puck while getting boarded by Greening, but whatever, hockey play. And the Habs end the period with another bad goal by 73. Neil gets high-sticked at the end of the period, but no call. Third period was very underwhelming. Game ends with a battle between Guy and 53, but Guy just leaves and doesn't defend himself. Gets kind of called out with that for not being tough enough on his own. Overall summary of this game, terrible entries, and Carlson didn't look good at all. This is the game where he really looked like he was hurting. Power play was absolutely worthless and didn't capitalize on the fact that the Habs were missing the three best players. Sitting Konecker, I think the message was received. So that's game two in a snapshot.
And you really felt the lack of scoring for Ottawa in this game.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of push, that's for sure.
And you began to wonder, are these guys ever going to be able to score more than a goal or two a game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was scary.
That whole game just seemed like not a lot of effort. I'm sure they were trying. They just didn't see, there was no result coming from the effort that they were putting in. It just wasn't working. No matter what they tried, it wasn't clicking. It was really, really difficult to watch. Yep. Game three, Sunday, May 5th. Canuck, you're up for this one.
I do. So my first game back on notes for a while. I'll point out, I got a few more anecdotal stuff around the game.
Let's make it a little bit more entertaining for you so you have tons to write.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the pregame started off pretty good because Healy's ripping on Carlson. You know, where have you heard this before? Hey, you know, I was saying he's hurting the team. He's taking long shifts. He's better off, you know, not even playing, I guess. And you know how CBC, Hockey Night in Canada, they always start a half an hour before the game. Well, they're profiling Habs players, and they do the obligatory 30-second interview of Alfie. But all the Ottawa comments are just critical. Montreal is amazing. Like, it's pretty clear what team they're focusing on, right? I get tweets that Pan's filled with rage. Pan's going to this game. This is in Ottawa. Yelling at the parking attendant. Texting F-bombs. I don't know what doing, Pan, but...
Hey, you were really angry on the way out there.
CBC even did a montage of the Leafs win the night before. And this is Montreal and Ottawa playing. And then go into a Leafs analysis. So, you know, everybody's grumpy before the start of this game. Conacher in, Latondress out, as you mentioned, Cassian in, Weirkosh in. Interesting start is Lyndon Sluage did the anthems. You notice he did it a cappella this time? That's something new.
He's done that all series. He wants the fans to chime in.
Yep.
He gives us a verse, I think.
Yeah, well, he just, okay. The God Keep Our Land, I think at that point he holds the mic up and everybody sings.
Yeah.
So the game starts off again, Bob Cole announcing. I'm going to get back to Bob Cole, but thankfully I was really happy because Bob Cole took a moment again to remind everybody of, and the Ottawa Senators in the red jerseys and the Montreal in the white jersey with the blue.
He did it again.
Oh, no.
Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Did he say which direction they were going into?
He might have been turned around, so who knows.
Labrew, the Canadians wouldn't help out with the Dutch bailout, but our money's going to this.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I think the game tone was set really on, early on when Condra gave the business to Subban. Subban's coming in for his little check move, and Condra got his hands up and early, no call on that play, and I think that pretty much set the tone for this game. So, where do we go? Price stops a 2-on-1 early. Yeah. Some penalties. And Ottawa is about to get a second. Montreal is about to get a second penalty. And Ottawa is wasting their time passing it around. I'm yelling at the TV, say, give them the puck because it's going to be a 5-on-3. They wasted about 20 seconds on this. But anyway, it doesn't matter because once they do get that 5-on-3 shot from the point from Gonchar and Alfie buries it, 1-0 Ottawa. And as they come, I think they went to a TV timeout after that goal. As they come back, they're still playing U2 Beautiful Day in the arena. So I'm sure that place was just a hopping. Neil nails someone. That's why my note says Neil nails someone.
What a good Cole.
Mathot nails someone.
You're Bob Cole. That's good.
Mathot nails the Montreal player. Condra gets a call for tripping. What else here? Chris Neal sent to the box. Lord knows why. Immediately, Montreal scores 1-1. Montreal typical.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
Another penalty call to JGP. Markov dropped a stick, so they said it was slashing. And again, another penalty.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
So that's the first period. Ended 1-1. Second period. That's when I decided to start with the coffee liqueur tequila.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Weirkosh not on the bench. Well. Lower body injury, apparently, to Weirkosh. Ottawa down to 5 defensemen again. Neil hits Gallagher, but that wakes him up. Really, okay, at this point is when I wrote it down. There's just no excitement in Cole's voice. And I'm calling BS on him right now because everyone says, you know, the first reaction to say, well, he's cheering for Montreal, he's not cheering for Ottawa. But here's the retort. You'll hear, no. He goes for the home crowd. He cheers for the home crowd. If you listen, and I'm calling BS on that right now because absolutely, he did not get excited on any of the Ottawa 2-on-1s, and he gets excited when he's in Montreal and they're on the 2-on-1s. And I just don't get him. But someone tweeted it. It's like every Ottawa opportunity, it's like, look out. Here we go. Or sorry, look out. And then Montreal. It's okay. Here we go. It's just, the guy is so annoying.
Exactly. Well, an Ottawa opportunity is a warning, but a Montreal opportunity is excitement.
Yeah. Anyway, Gonchar sends Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and he scores.
I was like, sends Gab scores?
Yeah. Subban.
Was she wearing a bomb jersey?
Hits him in the head after he scores. JGP loses a tooth. That seems to be a theme in this series. You know, you have to lose a tooth to win.
I love Subban's reaction to that, too.
Yeah.
Whoa, so, me? What'd I do? Me?
Yeah. So we're up 2-1, and we still have a power play. Even up call a little bit later, but late in period two, Habs try to check Mathot. Ends up with Moen, Check, and White. So you get two Montreal guys running each other, and they go off to the dressing room. So Montreal injuring themselves.
That was an ugly collision, that one.
Yeah. That's the end of the second period. Still 2-1 Ottawa. And not too much happened in the third, so I guess that's it. Oh, no, wait. In the third period, Pageau gets a second goal, assist to Neal. That's now 3-1 Ottawa. That's two goals for little JGP. What a great game. Neal checks entire team on one shift. Like, he is just throwing the hits out there.
Yeah.
Gonchar takes the penalty, but somehow the refs decide to give Montreal an embellishment. So, interesting enough, we get a call go our way. And Gionta stopped by Anderson on a breakaway. And I think that was a real turning point right there, because it was 3-1 Ottawa. If Gionta had scored there, you know, it would have been close. And at this point, I hear in the crowd, that was just brilliant. Brilliant. I love that.
It was so much fun.
Oh.
I imagine it was.
And then Ottawa gets a 3-on-1. Fails to deliver, but no worries. They get it back, and Turris pops it in. 4-1 Ottawa. And then, I wish I had the sound effect for it. Ding, ding, ding. We have a line brawl.
Everything happens.
Everything is happening. At this point, I got all kinds of notes. Cowan destroys number 53. That actually fits perfectly. Cassian is standing at center ice, waving his hands up and down. Neal in 32. Smith in 55. I think it was Bouillon. Phillips even danced with number 42.
Oh, yeah. Phillips being the tough guy. Eh?
Yeah.
Beating up on that 19-year-old.
And after all that line brawl, which I'm sure we can talk about a little bit more, Silfverberg scores 5-1. And this, I'm done with the notes. I mean, what do I got? Subban takes on Turris. Everything's happening. Nobody's on the bench.
He didn't take him on. He jumped him.
Yeah.
He absolutely jumped him. screw this. I'm taking over.
He jumped him and mounted him and continued to throw punches when Turris was lying on his back.
Listen. Yes.
Exactly.
And actually, something that you probably didn't see on TV. Granted, I think we talked about this offline, but the linesman was trying to grab Subban off of him and was just struggling with it. So Subban didn't stop.
I saw
even
this.
At that. The ref was standing right there. Couldn't help him out.
Yeah, I noticed this. He did not get in there at all. The ref just watching. The linesman's like struggling to get Subban off.
And when you think of it, that's really Ottawa's number one center now. Do you think if someone's beating up on Crosby like that, the ref's not jumping in?
I think there are rules about that. It has to be the linesmen who do. I'm not 100% sure, but I think
that's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
I don't know. But yeah, that drove me nuts.
Between the game ejections and the penalties at this point, I think there was just a 5-man line rotation going on the benches at this point.
Yep.
So Alfie playing defense.
Everybody on, everybody off. Yeah, Alfie sat on D, which is great to see.
So what happens next? Pageau gets the hat trick. Way to go, kid. And as time runs down, McLean feels his guys need a rest, I guess, or wants to rub it in, and he calls a timeout, right?
Oh, yes.
Everybody gets pizza because the Senator score with 6 goals on home ice, and everybody's like, what? We still have this offer? I think even Pizza Pizza's like, we're still doing that?
Uh-oh.
Dust off the contract.
I thought we canceled that contract. It hasn't come up for a long time. Way to stay classy, Montreal. The game finishes with George's shot the puck at Silfverberg, or Turris, I believe.
Turris. They were hating on Turris.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting tidbit for this game. This is my final thing. Gallagher, Galchenyuk, and Prost were all -3 on the night.
Nice.
Couple of other things with this game, though. Press is supposed to be their tough guy. He finished the game.
Well, yeah. If you listen to Michel Therrien, it was because, if I wanted that to happen, I would have had my tough guy out there on the ice.
Yeah, maybe Ryan White shouldn't take a two-handed baseball swing to Smith's leg.
Yeah. and then turn around to find a 6'5" giant coming at him going, "We're going." Just getting the living daylights kicked out of him.
Just so what is it? So that was White's last shift.
Yeah.
Apparently he's got a punctured lung or something like that.
What?
I didn't hear this.
I hadn't heard anything.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how you can get that by getting punched in the face. But anyways, but he's done for the season or for the series. Was it Colby Armstrong's only fought in two or three or one or two times, according to Therrien?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Granted, I think he was out with Neil. So good luck on that one.
No, he was the one who was cowering underneath Cassian.
Oh, was he? Oh, yeah. Because Moen went with Neil.
There's one video clip where you can actually see him. He's underneath and he's tapping. Like, he's tapping out. He's tapping on Cassian's legs. Like, no, please. No, none of this. I don't want this. I don't want this with you at all.
Yeah.
And that was
good on Bouillon too, right? Like, I don't even think Neil Smith wanted to go with Bouillon. He was just holding him back, and I think Bouillon kind of figured, well, I got to.
I'm sorry, but Cowan destroyed White.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was running away and falling down.
Well, you know what happened? Because that was the first fight. He didn't even get kicked out of the game. McLean sent him off.
Really?
After his 5 minutes, he came back to the bench, tried to sit down. The assistant coach told him to go to the showers.
Well, Cowan got a 10-minute misconduct, according to the box score.
He didn't get kicked out of the game, though. No. There's 12 minutes left. I don't think that was right. But
so, Pan, you're at this game. How would you rate it?
Oh, I'll give it a 65 out of 11.
Nice.
Probably so one of the best home playoff games in a long time, if not ever.
Best game I've ever gone to.
You got your line brawl.
Yeah.
I got a line brawl. It was exciting. It was fast. The crowd was in it. We won every single one of the fights, except for the tourist one, but that was more of a brawl.
That was a sucker punch, just like the one on Conacher.
You won in the scoreboard.
Oh, the Conacher one. You're bad at notes, Kenna. Jeez.
Well, I couldn't keep up, and I started drinking tequila at this point.
So that was Gallagher with about 3 minutes left?
Pretty sure McLaren got in a fight, too. I don't know.
All right, Bob. Go take a nap.
Yeah, it was just over 4 minutes
left. Yeah, 4 minutes left. Gallagher, who has a visor, just.
Oh, yeah.
You sucker don't punch. Really want to compare it to this, but just drops a glove, punches Conacher right in the face. Conacher, being who he is, just immediately defends himself. But that's an instigator. And it's an instigator with a visor.
Didn't happen.
Instigator. With 5 minutes left in the game, which should have been an automatic game suspension.
Didn't happen.
And $10,000 to Therrien.
It happened, but he wasn't given a penalty for being the instigator.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
Well, everybody knows that it was Conacher who instigated that because he had just been elbowed in the back of the head by Prost, and he clearly was standing there begging to be punched in the face. So, you know, it's not unreal.
You know,
that punch by Gallagher, though, that reminded me of, and I can't remember, not Ozil Lynch. They were brother defensemen, Russian, I believe. Domi, and he just turned around and punched this guy against the Rangers years ago. Knocked him right out.
Oh, yeah, I remember who you're thinking of, but that's been a long time.
He was a little bit of a chippy player, too. Just knocked him right out. That could have been the same thing here.
Yep.
I was thinking you were going to go with the Darcy Tucker on Patrick Eaves.
But because he wasn't injured, no call, no discipline.
Yep. No blood, so it's okay. It's all good.
We won this game on the scoreboard. We won it in the alleys, if you will, and we won it on the coaching, too. It was just an all-around win.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I was being sarcastic when I talked about the timeout. I think Ottawa fans know the real story there. But, you know, hey, you know, good on McLean for calling it, even if that was a little bit of an angle, too.
Because, I was shocked that he put tourists out there.
Well, they played the prevent defense at that point. They had one person in the circle and everybody else is back at the blue line.
No, Turris was the one taking the dot. That's I would put anybody else on there.
Good point.
But yeah, the other four guys were just way back so that they couldn't get bullied. If you really want to stick the point, you just stick Turris at the end of the circle and say, drop the puck. That would have really, really incensed him.
Yeah.
Like the hurry up call, kind of like, well, I'm going to that in game five anyway.
That was exciting. That was certainly fun. An exciting game. And I mean, at the end of it, I don't think there was a Senators fan anywhere who was going anything but, I love my team. That was such a dominating game. Not in its entirety. At the beginning, it wasn't. But
how could you possibly top a home game like that?
That was a career and franchise.
It was a franchise defining moment.
It was. Yeah, Ottawa's coming of age.
Maybe. For sure.
Sure. Yep. Part two.
Are we done with this one? We also talked about it in episode 23 and a third. Six? So I think between the two of them, we've covered it pretty well.
Right. Next.
All right. Game four, Tuesday, May 7th. I got this one, don't I? All right. This game, Wierkosz was out and Greiba was back in. Ooh. So there was lots of talk before the game of, is anything going to happen now that Greiba's back in? And there was a lot of rumbling with the, I wonder what's going to happen, what the media was trying to stir it up. And my reaction to all of that was, he's a big boy. He's had quite a number of fights in the AHL. If somebody wants to take him on for retribution or make him pay, I'm sure he'll accommodate it, and I'm sure he'll do quite well. But that didn't actually happen. Starting lineup, again, our coach was being very sensible. It was Mathot and Erik Karlsson back on the blue line, but it was Greening, Smith, and Neal to start the game, saying, okay, that's good. Good to see that that's going to be keeping things at least calm to start things off. There was the JGP tent in the second minute. I was listening to the game on the radio, actually, and it was really clear over the radio. The place was just ringing with it. And you were at this game as well, were you not?
Yeah.
Was it really loud in the arena? Because it certainly seemed pretty loud over the radio.
It was. It was nothing compared to the previous game, but...
Well, it's early. You know, that was kinda fun. Yeah. Got to build the energy up. The Sens were getting dominated in their own end. Other than the initial rush off the opening faceoff, almost all of the first 4 minutes were in the Ottawa end, and after 4 minutes, the shots were 5-0 Montreal. At that point, Desharnais was sent off for 2 minutes for hooking Pageau, and the power play had no shots on goal. Zero. Not a really good start.
Ottawa typical.
Yeah. It took 8 minutes and 17 seconds for the Senators to get their first shot on goal, and it was Pageau who got it, followed by Cowan, another one just seconds later. 11 minutes into the period, the Senators take their fourth offside of the period that has kept getting called offside. Their momentum was just keep getting killed because every time they tried to do something, it just fell apart. Penalties throughout the period, nothing a whole lot of interest. There was one moment which I thought was probably very special for one of my co-hosts, which was during a TV timeout at 16:53. There was a special alumni guest in the building, and I heard that there was quite a good cheer for him.
Oh,
and you
want
to describe
so
that?
Happy. Well, this was a lot better than when I actually met him. You know things are good when Ron Tugnutt's there.
Yeah.
I love Ron Tugnutt.
And I hear he got quite a cheer. They were talking about it on the radio.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
It's excellent.
I think somebody else is on the big screen this night, too.
Was this the game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I took me a second to figure out what you're talking about.
Right. We could move on.
That was the
expecting a callback here, guys. Come on.
I can't remember her name, unfortunately. That was the girl who goes to a private school in Montreal. And
no.
Oh, jeez. Kaylee.
Okay, then I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's talking about himself.
Oh.
That's a good story, though.
We talked about that in 23.6, if you really want to hear about it.
Okay, 23 and two-thirds, we talked about it in that one, so we don't need to go back on it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Sorry, I wasn't picking up what you were laying down on that one. My apologies. Anyway, that's the end of the first period.
Poor Canuck.
No respect.
No respect. Second period started off with Cassidy. Are you going to be okay over there? Do you need a minute?
No respect.
No respect.
Yeah, we said we were going to do that, but I was like, perfect. All right.
Second period starts off with Cassian getting a good chance on a rush with Carey Price almost caught out of position, but didn't end up in a goal, unfortunately. And then there was a beautiful poke check by Mathot to keep the puck in the zone and avoid an odd man break. It was a beautiful, right on the blue line, Montreal blue line. He just did a beautiful poke check to make sure that the Habs couldn't break out. Unfortunately, right around the 3-minute mark, Plekanec pushed up past Carlson by himself, then passes over to Subban, and goal was up. Puck was up under the crossbar, 1-0. I did notice that on that goal by Subban, the congratulations from the team seemed to be a bit muted. You know, it wasn't this huge, everybody gathers together, big hug, high fives. It was more like, yeah, good job, you know.
Really?
It wasn't as big as a lot of the other scoring plays, no.
Because he's very animated. Like, he's a fiery beast.
He is, but his
I think it just drives his teammates nuts.
Yeah, his teammates
like, don't poke the bear.
Weren't feeding it at all. Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Because, yeah, he does. He does have that kind of poke the bear kind of celebration. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're going to do that? Okay.
Yeah. They weren't buying into it. I just thought it was interesting to watch.
Did you see Puck Possessed's picture of this game?
Oh, I did. The one with him gritting his teeth there?
No. It's she just drew a picture. I can't remember.
I guess they didn't.
We'll talk about that next game. I'm getting my game screwed up.
Okay. Sorry. Just over a minute later, Galchenyuk goes in and scores. So it's suddenly a 2-0 Montreal game, 4 minutes into the second period. As the period went on, there were some good shifts from the Silverberg-Zibanejad line and the Cassian-Smith-Neal line. They were starting to throw their weight around. They hadn't been trying to physically dominate the Habs through the first part of the game, but suddenly they were starting to come alive. And there was one particular shift where the Neal line was just hitting everything. It's like, okay, the puck's right there, which means I can hit you, so I'm going to play you and not the puck because one of my teammates is going after the puck. And they were just thundering them. It was great. And it started to slow the Habs down. Not a lot, but it started, which was what we really needed. Just near the end of the second period, McCulloch got a 2 minutes for roughing in a scrum. And even Gary Galley on the broadcast was wondering what the call was for because it was a scrum. And why did you suddenly go, you're getting 2 minutes, but nobody else is getting one?
Well, you got to send someone. So you send the team that's down 2-0.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Penalize the team that's down, for sure. Because they're leading the series, you know, don't you know? The third period started off, and the Senators were playing better, and they were playing more physically, but it wasn't quite enough to slow the Habs down, and it certainly weren't cowing them. Like, they weren't becoming, oh my God, you guys are intimidating us. But the pressure was building as the period went on. By 6 minutes in, the shots were 6-1 for Ottawa, so they were certainly getting their chances. Neal took a shot on goal, went off Zibad's foot, and in. And there were
goal!
A lot... Exactly. There was a lot of talk about that one. That one certainly generated a lot of media talk, which we'll get to after we finish the game summary. But whether it was a good goal or not, okay, maybe you need a glass of water. Right after that goal, the Senators were hemmed into our zone for about a minute. But they continued to pressure and mounted, you know, more and more pressure as the period went on. Great chance by Alfie in the last couple of minutes, but fantastic save by Price. And then there were a couple of icing calls, which were, I think we kind of got lucky with both of them.
No, listen, he just didn't skate the way that he normally does.
Well, no, I don't.
It's not that he stopped Alex Ovechkin. If you saw
He just couldn't. He wasn't skating. Neither Gonchar nor Carlson were skating as hard as they absolutely could. But it's the last couple of minutes of the game. I'm not faulting them for it, but I think we might have got lucky on one of them. Be that as it may, it was a point of contention later on that I can see.
Hey, you know what? The linesman's got to call it too. If he thinks that you can keep up, he's got to wave it off.
And he didn't.
The Carlson can speed up.
Yeah. It was kind of one of those things where you thought this really should be an icing, but oh, geez, Ottawa's player is back a little too fast, and you can kind of see him slowing down. So, yeah.
But it worked.
I think realistically, the kind of play that shot the puck down is an icing call, but that's not what you call. You call what happens at the line because that's definitive. And yeah, I agree. It was borderline. It's pretty borderline.
But after everything else that's happened in this series so far that was borderline and gone one way or the other, I don't have a problem with the with things going one way or the other.
We're going to talk about the left-right thing in a minute, right?
We will. We can. We can. So Anderson was on the bench, and there was, on one of these icing calls, it ended up that it seemed that the face-off was on the wrong side, which it seems to be a legitimate beef.
It was off the price save, though. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a legitimate
beef. Well, this was the first goal. This is the Mika goal.
Sorry, I'm getting the two of them confused. You're right.
Yeah,
my bad. Anyway, off the face-off, there's a big scramble at about 30 seconds left in the game. Anderson's on the bench, and I really wish that Dean Brown had been calling this game, because it would have been the perfect opportunity for one of his scramble calls, because that's exactly what it was. And Conacher scores.
And I get a Big Mac.
And Van gets a Big Mac.
Except I got confused with my ticket. Because I thought it was my game one ticket, which I should have traded in for pizza, but forgot about.
Oh, no.
And then I shredded the game two ticket at work.
Like, so they check. Just give them a piece of paper.
No pizza, no Big Mac.
No pizza, no Big Mac.
Oh, no, that's
marketing
bad.
Fail.
I can hear Matt's discouragement from here.
Yeah. That's a sad trombone. Oh. That's really bad.
I got too many sound effects on my board now.
Anyway, with 25 seconds left, the score is tied. The Habs got a chance with about 7 seconds left. They were scrambling all around, but the Sens got it clear. And right as the horn went off, I didn't see what actually happened, but Neil was down in front of the bench. And it took him a little while to get off the ice. And a last-second shot, literally last second of the period shot from Zibanejad. Price went to make a save on it, and looks like he pulled something. We still haven't heard what the injury is.
Price was already hurt at that point.
Yeah. So he might have just re-aggravated something else.
But he hurt himself, I think, on the Conacher goal.
Yep. That's what I saw too.
Okay. Okay.
And then he just tried to make a routine save and just clicked. Yeah. That looked like a groin.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So we're tied. We're in overtime. And Anderson makes a wicked save about 40 seconds into the overtime with Budaj, who's now in because Price is injured. And Turris gets a fluky screen goal. 3-2 overtime win. Sens now have a stranglehold in this game. And let the controversy fly, courtesy of the coach, about where faceoffs are taking place and icing calls and.
So all of a sudden,
seriously, if you're on your wrong side, you just slap it back. Slap it back. It'll go behind the net, then you can recover.
Besides which, it was the first goal. You're right, but it was on the wrong side. But the goal came from where the faceoff should have been anyway, because it was off.
Of all the things for them to go on. I mean, really, during the course of the game, you're going to have to take faceoffs from both sides. Like, get over it.
Yeah, like, okay, you're better on one side but the other, but if you're on the wrong one, just slap it back. You've got the time for that. Anyways, so, was it? I think that's the one that the league apologized on. Like, you know what? You're right. It was on the wrong side. The league actually apologized for that.
Oh, I missed that.
Remember the Benoit, his first goal that got called back against Montreal?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I did a little bit of math on this here. Math is a wonderful thing. So that game, which is much more crucial because you're actually calling a goal back, which should have been a good goal, was 2-1 Habs win. If Ottawa would have won that game, Montreal would have had 61 points and would have ended fourth instead of second. Now, conversely, Ottawa would have had 58 points which would have put them in fifth. I just found that kind of neat.
So you're saying it didn't matter?
We would have been playing them anyway.
Overall, it didn't matter. But that one play, right?
Did you just blow your point there somewhere?
Well, I kind of disproved myself. But when you're going from second to fourth over one game, or over one goal and one missed call,
I see.
You're going back to.
Well, it's because of that loser third place thing.
The second and fourth,
you skip third. So
yeah, well, that's going to all change next year anyway. But
yeah, I still haven't got all that straight. But we'll get to that.
I don't know how you guys do this. My playoff beard in the pop filter is just driving me nuts.
Used to having one.
Oh my god.
All right, let's get through game five because nothing happened in that game. Game five, Thursday, May 9th. Decisive, wonderful moment for being a Senators fan win. Budaj was in, Price was out due to the injury. And puck dropped in Montreal, and off we go. Habs were swarming. Anderson made some absolutely brilliant saves, including one call 911. The Habs were robbed on Rene Bork. That glove save from in close was just a thing of beauty.
That set the tone right there.
Yeah, it was almost like, okay.
Hey, you think that set the tone? What about the goalposts?
Ugh.
They chimed
in pretty well too, didn't they?
they got the third star on the team 1200. No. But it was really the, okay, Anderson's in his zone. We're good. It was just astonishing to watch.
Doing this CSI sound just hurt my back.
Yeah.
Ow.
I don't think you can get workers' comp for an injury from podcasting, so you better take care of that.
It's no income.
All right, so scoring was opened at 2 minutes and 17 seconds of the first period with Zach Smith when he pots a huge rebound on a really shaky Budaj with assists to Cassian and Mathot.
Shake that Budaj.
Let's move on.
Yeah!
Yeah. 12 and a half minutes, Conacher scores with assists to Condren Pajot, and it's already 2-0, and Sens fans are... Okay, we got this. This game's going our way for a change. Finally. Bouillon took a two-minute penalty for interference at 14:10. Nothing came out of that. Alfredson got a 2 minutes for interference call at 19:23. I still don't remember what that call was about exactly. But anyway, 2 minutes for interference.
It's about hitting someone when they don't have the puck.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Oh.
And Subban scored a power play goal 15 seconds before the end of the period. So the period ends 2-1.
Oh, can I just chime in on there? Because, I ripped on Bob Cole. And I just want you to listen to Bob Cole's call of Subban's goal here.
The Canucks won the draw. Quick pass back to him. Subban scores! The Canadians get a power play goal! Subban will get the goal!
Okay, you get the gist of that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay.
He's excited.
That was a Subban goal?
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this. Which
yeah, continue on.
Okay.
Did you see the speed as to how the linesman dropped the puck when Condra came in?
When Condra came in?
Came into the face-off dot. So Turris got kicked out.
You mean just before that goal?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't notice.
So take a look at that. So Turris gets kicked out.
Tic-tac-toe?
Condra just skates in. We're the visiting team. Visiting team's stick down first.
Mm-hmm.
Plekanec just puts a stick down immediately. Condra didn't even get set. So you want to talk about a bad face-off that causes a goal? There's one, too.
Oh, it's a hockey play. It's a hockey play. He should have been ready when he skated up there.
Oh, my God.
I'm just playing devil's advocate because I know which way it's going to go. Anyway, second period. A lot of penalties early in this period. Silverberg, 2 minutes for interference. Neal, 2 minutes for high sticking. Montreal, too many men on the ice. And a minute and a half later, Ottawa, too many men on the ice. Oops.
During the time that Ottawa was on the penalty kill for that too many men on the ice, Torres scores a shorthanded goal with an assist to Condra. Now, did you want to play some sort of sound clip here, Canuck? Is that where you're going with this?
Torres? No, yeah. No, it's okay. We'll hold on to that. But I think this was the turning point in the game right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Suddenly it's 3-1. And that was really the only particularly interesting part of the second period. I don't have a whole lot of notes for this game because I wasn't at home. Nobody was at home to try and watch this game. We were all over at friends' places or whatever. So I sort of had to put this game's summary together afterwards, and nobody really cares. So anyway, we'll keep going. third period, Ryder gets 2 minutes for hooking, and a minute into that penalty kill for Montreal, the Golden God.
You got that sound clip at home in your basement, right, Canuck?
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think I recorded that one in the bar that I was in.
Sure.
Well, I'm not even going to tell the story. I'm going to get snappied. if I tell that story, I'm just going to get snappied, so let's move on. Pat Chiaretti gets 2 minutes for high sticking, and during that penalty, Conacher scores power play goal with assist to Zibanejad, now 5-1.
Oh, let's hear Bob Cole call the Conacher goal here.
Okay.
Performance and just the overall year they've had. Many young guys, no question about that. Future looks very bright. We've got more coming up. Score! They're all going through Budai now. That's too bad.
That's too bad.
That's too bad. Go ahead, Cam.
That's awesome.
All the Ottawa goals.
I was just
going to
say, that's
just
what she said.
Score!
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
all,
that's too bad. Oh, yes. It's whatever.
You know.
Now, I need a little bit of help near the end of this period because there's something because of where I was watching it, I didn't notice something that'll come up in the game notes in a second. So I need your description of what actually happened.
Okay. Everything was happening.
Everything was happening, exactly. Subban takes 2 minutes for roughing at 15:20 of the third period. And now it's Condra's chance to score a power play goal with assists to JGP and a second assist in this game to Cassian. So it's now 6-1. Now, at the 17:01 mark, I didn't see this happen. I think I was trying to pay a bill or something. Conacher got 2 minutes for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. Dumont got 2 minutes for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. And Blunden got a 10-minute misconduct.
Whatever.
What happened? I didn't even see this.
Conacher deserved it.
Did he?
He does. His compete is always on. He was still going around taking, like, you know, the little jabs on the legs and whatnot.
So he's being chippy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He comes with maturity. He shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, in my opinion. And the refs did the right thing.
Okay.
It's like, let's get him out of here before anything else happens.
Yeah, let's just take care of it now. No, wise move. I like the fact that I noticed that things were getting chippy. I didn't see what happened.
That's being unbiased CBC. I get paid. Donate to the show.
Yeah, put us out there. We'll give you an unbiased commentary. I'm no good at play-by-play, but it'll be an unbiased commentary. In the last couple of minutes, I was very impressed to see that Coach McLean had Zach Smith, Chris Neal, Matt Cassian, Mathot, Griba, Cowan. There were always some big, tough, I don't want to say tough guys, but, you know, big, solid, I'm not afraid to drop the gloves if you start doing something stupid guys out there, just to make sure nothing stupid happened.
And this is when all the Habs fans are leaving, right?
Yeah, in droves.
Yeah. Let's move their cars, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they wanted to make sure that it was easy to get out.
Well, they didn't get torched.
Oh, that too. End of the game, shots 29 for the Senators, 34 for the Habs. One little interesting bit of trivia. Thank you, Ian Mendez on Twitter. Before this game, the Senators had scored 6 goals on 29 shots against Peter Budaj. In this game, they scored 6 goals on 29 shots. Little piece of trivia. There you go. Oh, I can hear crickets. Anyway,
I can't get over the fact we scored 6 goals twice.
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 including 13 in the third period of this series. So that's it. Game five, win. Four games, or series taken in five, and we're off to the second round, but we have no idea who we're playing yet.
We scored 20 goals in this series.
Yep.
Shh. I did some homework on that. Just give me a second.
Oh, you did? Okay. I did some too.
Colonel, you just mentioned like putting out Neil and Cassie and all that. Did you hear the presser after? Probably not, because you're still out, eh?
I might have caught a clip of it, but I didn't hear it because I was still out, yeah.
So someone asked McLean in regards to that power play at the end of the game. It's like, you put out guys like Neil and Cassian. And his response was, well, you need to show respect for the other team.
Oh.
By not putting out your big guns.
Don't mess with the Walrus.
And then he did the self-deprecating. He's like, not that those guys are doing anything on the power play anyway, so they weren't very good. But, man, that was funny.
There were some power play goals scored in the third period. Condra got one.
Yeah, but that's definitely not first line, right?
No, absolutely.
It's Tierschiri scoring. I love this coach.
Okay, hang on a second. You just used the word tertiary. Yeah. And you criticize me for using the word troglodyte?
Because I don't know what a troglodyte is, but I know what Tierschiri is.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Overall, thoughts?
I was going to say, you did some homework on the scoring, you said?
Yep. So I've got some more math for you.
Excellent. Lay it on us, because I got some too.
Okay. Maybe we did this game. Ottawa in the regular season. On average per game, goals for 2.42. Goals against 2.16.
Ooh.
The differential of 0.26. In the first round, goals for were 4.0. Goals against 1.8.
Wow.
With goal differential of 2.2 per game.
That's an astonishing stat. Well done.
Now, assuming that we play Pittsburgh,
we're going to need that.
And we've just thought that Pittsburgh's been... Yeah, so thank you, Montreal. And this was one reason why I wanted to play Montreal first instead of Pittsburgh or Boston. The team's goal scoring was anemic. And we're getting ourselves an extra goal and a half a game. Granted, yeah, there was a backup goalie and we just shelled the other team because all their players were gone. But you know what? It builds up confidence, right?
Yep.
Here's what I have for Pittsburgh. During the regular season, goals for 3.44 and playoffs 4.2. It is what it is because they've improved their team so drastically. Goals against, though, 2.48 versus 2.8. Their goal differential is only 1.4.
In the playoffs or in the regular season?
In playoffs.
Hmm.
So their goals against is 2.8. The Islanders' regular season goals against was 2.9.
Jeez.
Hmm. So that being said, and it's the Islanders, they're better off defensively against Pittsburgh in the playoffs than they were overall against the rest of the league in all of their games.
Wow. Well, Pittsburgh's goaltending has been struggling in the playoffs. I mean, they benched Fleury.
Yeah, Vakum pitches a shutout.
A shutout, yeah. He'll be back next game.
But I don't think you can expect him to do that again. He's 30, what, 35, 36? And he just has so little playoff experience. I mean, doing it once, yeah. But doing it again, we'll see.
Bunch of troglodytes.
Oh, my God. How do you know what that is?
That's awesome.
Circles are small.
Well done.
Trogdor was a man. He was a dragon man.
That in a decade. Wow.
Okay. Well done. Well done, Canuck. That was excellent. My math was a lot simpler. I was just looking at this series where of Ottawa's 20 goals versus the Habs, Yeah, and I had some help with this by listening to some media this morning. Out of the 20 goals, 13 were scored by players 23 or younger. That's astonishing.
60% of the team is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're just really young. 5 were by players between 23 and 28, and 2 were by a player who's 40 or over. Alfie.
Yeah, but they're both Alfie.
Yeah. And they outscored the Habs 13-0 in the third period.
That's pesky, though. Well, what does that stat tell you?
It tells us we have a really young team.
And?
And our captain can still score.
Mm-hmm.
and what point are you trying to make?
Not only Asians can do math.
Anyways, so
hey Ben, go ahead.
Suck it, Finos.
I'm all screwed up now. So all the young guys are able to score.
Yeah. Oh, we have a
lot. Give it 5 years.
They'll be married and won't be able to score?
Oh, they'll be in their prime.
They're going to be all in the prime all at the same time.
And the young guys that are coming up will be players that we'll be talking about in a minute from some of the Black Aces.
Sure.
Which will be crazy. I just wanted to add quick impressions or thoughts on a couple of players through that series. I mean...
Well, do you want to do 3 stars first? Have you thought of yours?
I've struggled with them, so we can do that. I was just going to say I wanted your thoughts on 3 players or 2 players in particular, which would be JGP and Turris, who, I mean, I don't think anybody had any real thoughts that Pajot was going to come in and be
no
nearly as good as he's been. He's been astonishingly good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
I don't think he can keep it up. I mean, I don't think he can play at that level all the time.
Yeah, playing against a bigger team like Boston, I can't see him as effective.
Yeah, but he was astonishing. And I think
was he good, yeah.
And I think Torres had a really good series as well. He had moments where he was struggling, but he played really well.
Yeah, because he was going through a lot of dry spells during the regular season.
Yep.
And did he turn it on?
Yep, last couple of games of the regular season into the playoffs, he's been scoring like it's going out of business. And I don't know whether it was because just by juggling around who was the first line center gave him a bit more space, not playing against the top defensive pairing or whatever, but played very, very well. Why don't you start with who you think your 3 stars of the series were?
Yeah. So my 3rd star, I gave it to Konecker.
Nice.
So even though he sat a game, he got 3 goals, 4 games. I think he got a couple of assists too. Obviously an absolute clutch goal also, where the coach kind of called him out and said, go be pesky.
Yeah, Bishop wouldn't have scored those.
No. Well, we're talking about Konecker now. Because don't forget that we also got a 4th round pick with Konecker, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if he would turn into... So that's getting a potential Konecker and Pajot for Bishop. Getting Pajot as a diamond in the rough, but I really like her drafting.
We drafted pretty well in the last couple of years. So
yeah.
It's entirely possible.
So hopefully they're finding something that it's a deep draft and we'll see, or you can use that to move up, whatever. Good trade. So he was just absolute clutch when he needed to be. You've got to watch the chippiness though, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Second, Turris. He just absolutely turned it on in this series. Hopefully that can continue on. Because we're going to need a lot of scoring in the next round. First star, yes, goes hands down to Anderson.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to you. I was thinking 3rd star, Pajot. 2nd star, Turris. And Pajot, you know, maybe got better goals, but Turris is just the type of goals when they were scored, the importance of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then hands down, Anderson, number 1.
No,
I had,
and there's so many honorable mentions there. It's crazy. Like Konecker, yeah. I mean, Alfie, great games too. Neil, yeah.
Neil had a hell of a series.
I was thinking Neil for the 3rd star, but I was also looking
the hardest working senator.
He was getting the 4th star every day. I was also looking at either Mathot or Cowan, just because of their really, really steady play on the back end. There was a lot of play where, whether it was just positional or whether it was throwing the big hit to really throw the, not necessarily a highlight reel big hit, but a really big solid hit to put the fear of a large defenseman into a small forward. I think there was a lot of that that went unheralded in this series, just because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't goal scoring, but it was really what slowed the Habs down and made them almost afraid to go into the corner at times. But I was actually looking at Neil for the third star just because his play was so, so useful in really calming things down and making sure that they didn't get out of hand at times. But all of these choices for a third star, I think, are really good because there's so many that could have been completely valid.
And the amazing part of this is that we're all discounting Carlson.
Yeah, I was thinking that
just
too.
Just because
we take him for granted.
Yeah. And for him, he hasn't played well, but he is...
Seven, three, six, nine,
and there's been some more games. So that's
right.
He's the top Chera. Damn it, he's got the same amount of points as Chera. It's plus five, 26 minutes of ice time.
Yeah, but we just take him for granted, and we do because he is that good. So for him to be a star, he has to be that much better than what we expect of him. But sure, he could have been a star in there as well. But like Mathod and Cowan and Phillips and Greiba, he was doing his job in the back end, and doing it very, very well. There's been some news that came out. I think it was earlier today, but after yesterday, I'm a little confused as to whether it came out yesterday or today. That Jason Spezza has moved beyond his public skating, which is what Coach McLean was referring to it as. Yeah. He's still referring to it as nothing is imminent, but Jason Spezza is now practicing with the Black Aces. So that's definitely a step up from just sort of skating around a little bit in like a public skate kind of thing.
Yeah, because yesterday McLean said just flat out no for expecting Spezza back in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Murray this morning, though.
Yeah, I just thought that, okay. I mean, I'm not trying to go the, okay, he's coming back. No, not at all. But there is perhaps a small window for optimism now. Now, if he does come back,
yep.
Who do you take out of the lineup? Or how do you rearrange the lines and who do you put with who? I know that's sort of a big question to ask out of the blue.
Canuck, you go first.
Well, I say you take Alfie out because he's done nothing.
Oh, okay. No, hello, troll boy.
Listen.
I'm not really sure.
Do you have one for it?
For which?
No. Yeah, so, you didn't.
I couldn't hear you. I was trogdoring you.
Oh, okay. Mine seems really easy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're playing Pittsburgh. Boston might be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Drop Cassian, move Conrad to the wing, drop all the centers down one. Done.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at.
Yeah. What do you have?
I have Spezza between McCulloch and Alfie, line number one.
Oh, okay.
Torres between Zibanejad and Silverberg as line number two. Pajot between Conacher and Condra as line number three. And Smith between Greening and Neil.
I don't do these line combo things.
Well, I was just trying to figure out where you'd be able to put players in. And I mean,
McCulloch absolutely needs Spezza.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's been totally ineffective.
And there's always been chemistry between Alfie and Spezza. So it would just make sense to put the three of them together.
You load them up, though. That's a lot of change.
But it leaves the other line combinations less changed.
I got two problems here, though. First of all, game one. If you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, you put Cassian in. You put Cassian in. You take care of Cook. Game one, you take the 5 minutes of the game suspension and the subsequent discipline.
You pull Matt Carkner.
And you get this. Just get it out of the way.
Okay.
But the second problem I have
line combo problems anymore.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's right.
But the second problem I have is that what makes you think we're playing Pittsburgh? Let's go, Islanders.
Hey, I picked them as a dark horse, and I still pick them. I think that series is going at least seven. Well, I'm sorry.
I think sure it's going eight.
It'll go to seven. Yeah, at least seven. Then it's going to go into overtime.
Leafs in three.
Suck it, Finals.
No, they can't reach par on a par three. No, it's not going to work. No, I still think the Islanders have a good shot at getting around Pittsburgh. The next game's going to be out on the island where they've been playing pretty well, so it's not over till it's over, that's for sure. Now, it's just something you can think about. I just thought it was a piece of optimism, or you know, a little piece of light at the end of the tunnel, possibly for Spezza.
Oh,
not necessarily for the start of a series, but maybe late in a series, or if we get to the next round after that.
Whenever we can get him, yeah.
Yeah. It's good to hear
that. The team with Spezza is greater than the team without Spezza.
Yeah, even if he comes back and he's not 100%, kind of like Carlson came back, and he's not his old self, but the team is better with, you know, as much of him that's there than without. So, good news. Couple of quick points. There was a question, I think it came up on Twitter, as to who were the Black Aces who came up from Binghamton. And it's quite a lengthy list of them, actually. It's Borowiecki, Trzynski, Stone, Cece, DaCosta, Pumple, Prince, Hoffman, Nason, Lawson, and Grant. So one goalie, couple of defensemen, but mostly forwards. So we got lots of forwards around.
Yeah, well, how many we've got? Lundin, Benoit, Muirkoch sitting.
Exactly. So
I don't think anybody else really qualified to get called up either, right?
No, I don't. Maybe Sadeo, but that's about it. I don't think anybody else would be quite ready, unless we were, you know, if we're getting that deep in the depth chart because we've had that many injuries to our blue line. I don't think it would really matter who we were putting in by that point.
Yeah.
Somehow. We have one prospect still playing, at least that I've been able to figure out. We have one prospect still playing in the junior ranks, and that would be Troy Rutkowski, who was the free agent signing from March, who we signed from Portland. And I found out why we were able to sign him as a free agent, because he had been an Avalanche draft pick in 2010, but chose not to sign him.
Oh, they never saw him. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why we were able to pick him up, because I was looking at this guy's numbers, and they're really quite good. He had 62 points in the regular season.
What is he, a forward?
He's a defenseman.
Why wouldn't he want to go to... All right. I don't know.
I don't know why he doesn't want to go to Colorado.
He's freaking top four right away.
Exactly. And there's a lot of young talent there as well. But hey, he wants to sign with us. I'm good with that. In 19 games so far in the playoffs, he's got 4 goals, 3 of which are power play goals, 10 assists, so 14 points, plus 8, and 12 penalty minutes.
He's not making this roster for at least 3 years, though.
Oh, no. He'll be going to bingo for sure.
So why wouldn't you want to go to Colorado? I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but maybe he just didn't like the organization. Well, the organization's a bit of a shambles.
Well, they're fixing that now.
Yeah, but they weren't fixing it in March when he told them he wouldn't sign with them and became a free agent. I don't know. He also had the game-winning goal in Game 4 of the Western Hockey League final.
Well, I guess I'm happy to have him, but...
Yeah,
for himself, just like you can suck for 3 years making 1.2 mil.
Yeah, but
your shelf life is what it is anyway.
Maybe he just didn't like the organization. Who knows? He's 6'2", 208, and he's 20. He's a big boy. Anyway, let's talk quickly about all the other playoff matchups, because some of them have already been decided. Some of them are still going on. Some of them were... Some pretty exciting games going on tonight. I was looking
at... Hey, speaking of an organization in shambles.
Are you talking about Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. Blow it up.
How do Gillis and Vigneault still have a job? I mean, it should have been the next morning. Oh, by the way, while you're getting all the players to clean out your lockers, yeah, you guys clean out your desks. You're done. And then we're going to hire somebody new before the draft who's going to start taking this apart and rebuilding it into something that's actually going to work, because this just isn't working anymore.
Move the Sedins.
Yeah. If they... And that'll be easier than trying to move Luongo, that's for sure. But
I don't know. It's...
They both have no trade clauses, though, don't they? I think.
Schneider doesn't. You know what? I think you need
Sedins.
Yeah, as long as you move them together to a contender, they'll be fine.
But that's a lot of cap hit for a team to pick up.
Well, you know what else?
Pittsburgh can fit them, right? They pretty much take everybody else.
There's going to be so much shakeup, but like Luongo gone. You have to buy him out.
Oh yeah,
trade him in anywhere.
Well, nobody's gonna want. Nobody wants him.
I don't want to give up anything for that contract.
I don't want to take that contract if it costs me nothing.
Yeah, just release him, and then I'll sign him to whatever. He's gonna end up having, he had that the presser where he said my contract sucks and all of that, which everyone kind of took as a boo-hoo, but he was just the contract sucks. End the contract and let me go. That's the way that I read it.
Well, because he'll be getting a nice buyout so he can sign for somewhere else for a lot less money and still make the same amount.
He won't need to sign for less money.
No, but he won't get the same term.
He's not going to get the same term, but he didn't care about the term. His pocket's about 5.5. Do you think Tampa and Florida and Toronto and Dallas
and Pittsburgh?
They're not going to create and Pittsburgh
and Philadelphia.
Are they not going to create a market for demand?
Oh yeah,
He's going to get paid about $8 million instead of $5 million.
Well, he's been making more than five because the contract's all front loaded.
Right. Well, it's starting to drop off soon.
Yeah.
He's going to be a rich, rich man, and he's going to put himself in a much better position. So the year's been a disaster for him.
If Schneider doesn't pick up the ball next year, they could be without any goaltending at all. That's rich. I love that thought. I truly do.
Just a disaster. Too many defensemen that are all the same.
Pylons.
David Booth was an absolute waste of time. They're paying him $5 million, and I think that's going to be a buyout too. He got one goal. He got all happy about it. I think it was an empty net, or they just set him up to get him one. Then he broke his foot.
Well, they picked up Derek Roy as a trade deadline acquisition. I mean, I know he's a UFA, but why?
Third, they needed centers. Kessler's the only guy that's doing a thing.
But bring
the guy's
up.
Got friggin' laryngitis.
Anyway. That franchise is in disaster mode.
Yeah.
Other
you know series? What else is a disaster?
Oh. Go ahead.
When you go out and you sign the two top free agents?
Oh, yeah. And go out in five. Yeah, way to go, Minnesota.
You're playing Chicago, but you should have been seated a hell of a lot higher than that.
Well, I mean, they also lost.
They lost their goalie. All-Star.
They lost the All-Star before the season end, but they also lost their goalie in the warm-up of game one.
And then the other goalie.
And then the other goalie, so.
Yeah, it was bad luck, but.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It is kind of poetic for signing those two massive contracts, and you're out in five. Thank you. Good night. L.A. St. Louis is turning into a really entertaining series to watch. That's nasty.
Tight, tight games.
St. Louis is nasty. Wow.
It's 1-1 in game six.
1-1 now?
Yep. Detroit won in overtime, so that's going to go to a game seven.
Which is great for the Sens.
It makes things that go on for a while. So there's lots to still be decided in the playoffs. I mean, we've
secured. Why is that great for the Sens?
More rest.
Okay. Not following. Well, they can't start round two until everybody's done.
Round two until everyone's done.
Yeah, true enough.
Otherwise, then it's just going to, the stagger is going to be all screwed up.
Sorry, Kathy.
Oh, well.
That's a West.
Yeah.
East?
That's West. East? Well, I still think New York Islanders have a chance to take it to seven against Pittsburgh. Washington won tonight, so they're up 3-2. Boston lost, but they're still up 3-2.
And road teams want to win in that series.
A good thing with that is hopefully that the Bruins can just embarrass the Leafs at home.
That'd be rich, wouldn't it?
Like 9-1 or something like that.
Little piece of trivia. The first two hat tricks of the postseason are both scored by former Hull Olympic David Krejci and JGP. Crickets. Neat. Anyway. Hey, it's all about the junior. It's all about the junior. We have a ton of email to read.
Oh, yeah.
So, Canuck, you're up with the first one. Because you're the one who can answer the question.
Is this Ron Rocks?
That's the one.
F- from Ron Rocks, the song. My question is, what is that song you use, Sneeze, Snooze, Snuffy, at the beginning of the podcast? Makes me laugh every time. P.S. I'm here in B.C. and I have my Sens flags on my car. Go Sens go, and Leafs and Canucks sucks. Ron Rocks in Surrey, B.C. Well, what is that song? It's Snappy, the gentle crocodile?
Kleine, small.
The small crocodile. I think I saw a translation of that. Yeah, it's just a Dutch cartoon.
Yeah, Carson didn't like that on Twitter at all, eh?
What was Carson saying?
Because he grew up in Belgium. He's like, where did you find this? I guess he didn't like the apology. He's like, oh, I hate that so much. And my brother loved it. And I had to watch it all the time. Why is this a thing?
Well, we like to torture people, that's all. Or at least Canuck likes to torture you and I, so. There you go. That's for you. All right, next one is from Jesper Gotland from Sweden. He says, hi, it's Jesper sending a reading and a question from Sweden. Thanks for your great podcast. Sorry for my spelling and grammar. I hope this will be readable. Since I've started watching the NHL regularly, I've noticed something. The commentators seem not to be impartial regarding the teams. No. Maybe I'm the one interpreting them wrong. The thing is, that's strange for me to hear them take a side in a game because Swedish commentators always try to be impartial. Mostly you don't have a clue which team they want to win, except for when it's the Swedish national teams that are playing, of course. So my question to you is, what do you think about the impartiality amongst sports commentators? Do you want it or not? Leafs suck, Canadiens suck, Go Sens go, and may the Swedish Senators Mafia score many goals in the years to come. Jesper.
Jesper, well, you want my answer to this?
Okay, you go first.
Rewind the episode and start it again.
Kind of talked a little bit about that. Now, we're lucky because we have some really, I mean, they're the broadcasters that do a lot of Senators games are people who've been doing them for a long time. So if it's on television, usually it'll be Dean Brown, who used to be the radio guy and still is, if the game is on a different network. And he can be a homer if it's a regional broadcast, but he's a homer in kind of a funny way more than anything. He's not, I don't find him so blindly biased like the Nesson guys in Boston or the MSG guys in New York. And he's doing the Chicago series right now, and he's got no stake in that series at all. And I think he's, I love listening to those or watching that series because he does such a good job at it. And our radio guys, yeah, they're biased, but they're local radio guys. What do you want? It's just the TV commentators are biased usually against the Senators because they're pandering to a larger market, Montreal, Toronto, whatever. But yeah, I'd say that you got it right. They're not impartial at all.
I don't think this is something new for NHL, at least, because my grandfather, he was in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and he hated the Canadians just because of the announcers. And they just they were absolute homers. But what do you want, right? You're in Quebec. You're not going to bash them.
Exactly.
They were religion. So I think it's just an expectation of that. And this is going back 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what the trend is, that's where we find in NHL hockey, probably more so than any other sport, the biasness. Now, what I'm fine with that in regards to Nesson, and the Pittsburgh guys are a little bit out of control too.
Buffalo.
Same thing with the Sportsnet, because those are all regional broadcasts. What my problem is when it's a national broadcast with the CBC and they're just dumping on the Sens or don't give them any credit. It should be on that. You've got to give some type of credit to Ottawa as well, because we are a Canadian team. You try to grow the brand. And that's, I think, why we're still such a small market team. Calgary's probably feeling it the same way. Where it's always like, well, Edmonton or now Vancouver versus Calgary. Mm-hmm. And comparing Ottawa to Montreal or Toronto, you're just going to get creamed because of the history. So it's hard to change the fans that way.
Well, the broadcasters haven't wanted to do that in the past 8 years when Toronto's been just brutal. They haven't made, this is the first time in 9 years they've made the playoffs, but they've never jumped off that bandwagon as far as trumpeting how great that team is to their fans. So
yeah. They deliberately choose to not promote Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Canuck, you guys were out during the pregame, right? Today? Before
tonight's game, yeah, I wasn't watching.
Yeah. Oh. That's right.
They did a good 20 minutes about the Bruins.
Really?
Probably expecting the Bruins to win. So guess which side they're going to follow going forward. They're going to pander to... There's a lot of Bruins fans because it's an original six. But it's just like, why are they getting so much airplay? They're an American team.
Because that's where they're setting it up for the next round if Ottawa faces the Bruins.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's scary. I didn't even think of that.
It was embarrassing. And it's just like, this is better than the 40 seconds that they would get about talking about Alfredson at the start of the game.
Yeah. Terrible. Just
awful. Anyway.
There we go. On to the next one. Pan, you're up for TJ.
Okay. Hold on. I want to put my second screen there. All right. So from TJ. Colonel. Oh, yeah. All right. So subject. Hey, guys. Colonel, we were right about the Sharks and Couture.
Thank you for that email. Right. Thanks. That's all we need. No, just kidding.
Sure. Yeah, that makes my reading easier. Listen to some Montreal radio podcast so I could laugh at their misery. And do the radio hosts there hate Coach McLean now? They hate Tim Peel as bad as Russell does. And of course, the refs made nothing but biased mistakes against the poor Habs. They don't realize they're just incompetent. Is anyone surprised that they were very sore losers? Hold on, I just hit a button. My screen just flipped. All I can say is please close them out tonight, being yesterday, and move on from the Habs. I can't watch tonight. We'll be in the air and go Sens, TJ.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Next one, Canuck, you're up.
Got an email from Special Delivery. Cheers from Winnipeg. The game tonight was pretty amazing to watch. Incredibly nerve-wracking until we went up 5-1. When that happened, I figured I could relax. Yeah.
I hear that long?
She's more nervous than I am.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
I'm so proud of our team and everyone contributing. This has really been a series where the whole team just got it together, and Anderson showed us that if he had only played the entire season, he would be up for the Vezina alongside the other nominees.
Yep.
The only thing I find I'm really missing is Jason Spezza. He is by far my favorite player and has been for years. I wish him a speedy recovery. I miss his goofy laugh and his amazing shooting, even his no-look drop passing. Again, just so proud of these guys. I was happy enough we made it into the playoffs. Now we're going to the second round. Go Sens. P.S. Leafs suck.
The nice part about the draw passes is that with Carlson on the team, he'll just pick them up and snipe them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's actually entirely possible.
Makes Spezza look like a genius.
Exactly.
Until people figure out that's a set play.
Yeah.
See, I've been telling you guys for years. They can do it. Why can't you?
We miss him too. We might be back.
Never know. The news could be good. Next, we have another one from Jesper. Subject line, oh my God, a 6-1 win. That was the strangest and one of the nicest games I've seen. We had no play at all during the first two periods, but we scored goals anyway. Oh my God, that was nice. Good night, my fellow Sens fans. The alarm clock rings in 5 hours as it's 4 o'clock in the morning here. Subban sucks, Habs suck, Leafs suck, Sens rule. So yet again, staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the Senators, that's pretty hardcore. I love it. Thanks, Jesper.
It's got a 9 a.m. shift start at IKEA there.
Oh,
yeah. 9 a.m. He's a lucky guy. Scandinavia, I guess, right?
Yeah. Pan, you're up for Ivan.
I love this distribution.
I was thinking of you.
Thank you. From Ivan White. Subject, whoa, baby! Sens moving on is fantastic. The potential for us to play the Pens and destroy Cook for real this time is wrinkling my brain. Go, Sens, go. and blow Leafs blow. I really like that.
I like that one. That's good. Canuck, you're up for the next one from Steven.
Yeah, subject is best moment. We ended up having to watch via PVR tonight, and I'd say the best moment was hearing the cheers from our neighbors and watching a goal a minute later. Yeah, I've been in that situation before.
I hate that.
Yep.
Or you're on, like, watching it streaming or something like that, and
yep,
you're about a minute behind. Very exciting game. Go Sens go. And on a related note, go Islanders go.
Yeah, thanks. I'll hit that sound clip again.
Let's go Islanders. Yeah, thanks for emailing, Steve.
Awesome. Next one. This is I love having this much email. This is great.
This is, I think this is the email of the night.
This is from CB Inc. Subject, win. Cost of a plane ride from Toronto to Montreal, $300. Cost of a hotel room, $125. Cost of dinner, beer, tickets, and a taxi, $500. Watching Budai play a net, priceless. In the bar I was watching the game in last night, there were only two Habs fans, and they were sitting off in a corner. And now I'll give them credit; they weren't being obnoxious or anything, but they slinked out sometime early in the third period when the place just got deafening with the Peugeot, Peugeot, Peugeot chants. It was a lot of fun.
I told you they just disappear.
Oh, they do. It's like turning the lights on and the cockroaches disappear. It's really quite surprising.
I love that email, CB Inc., and the double entendre of watching Budai play in Nate is priceless.
Oh.
Hey, I didn't even get that. I mean, yeah!
You're going to hurt your back again. Pan, you're up for the one from our old buddy.
All right, TVA. Guys, love the fractional episodes. The past two games I've been in Toronto trying out new material in bars that do not have the game on anywhere. I have, in all cases, been wearing a Sens hat and getting game updates on Twitter. So now it saddens me for the next round. I cannot watch a game. Have to perform wearing a hat in radio silence while silently screaming and doing fist pumps at the back of the room. Plus side, more crappy jokes. Keep the show rolling, lads. Hope we're still hearing you well into June talking about wins. Enjoy the French wine. Oh, W-H-I-N-E. Didn't catch it before. Go Sens go, TVA.
Awesome. Sorry, you have to be working and can't watch the games, TVA, but good to hear you're still following them and getting updates. That's fantastic. Last one.
I wonder if, Todd's listening to someone heckling him while he's on stage, if he just mentally does the snappy song.
Should set that up with the audio guy. Can you play that clip for me now? I mean, that would be funny.
Don't break character on the next time that happens. Just don't remember that, okay, TBA?
Awesome. And Canuck, you got the last one from Blair.
Email the show. Dear Sens Call-Ups, I'm just curious to know what your opinions are on the reason for the Senators' success against the Montreal Canadiens. I believe it's a balanced mix of size, skill, and speed, combined with the injury-filled season. I'm not sure if this team did not face such hard adversity early on that they would have been so successful. Jeez, I'm having trouble.
Like me?
Yeah. They've been playing playoff hockey since February. This season is not over, but I can't help but think of the future. When you look at the roster, you can't help but notice the young ages of some of the Sens' key guys. This may not be the youngest average team because they have a great mix of young players and veteran leadership that will turn those young players into great players. Sincerely, Blair. Well, I think you nailed it in terms of my opinions on why the Senators have been successful. Because, yeah, they did learn from the adversity earlier. And it's like you say, especially against Montreal, it was a good balance of size. They finally put some pucks in the net and just amazing goaltending.
Yeah. I've never seen Ottawa injure one player, let alone five.
Just by being pesky. Yeah. Like there's not, these weren't dirty hits. They were just playing the way that they've been playing pretty much all season, just up to 11 rather than at 10. There was one thing I was noticing, or I was thinking about the other day, and it went back to a conversation that I heard. I think it was on the radio, but it might have been on TV, where they were talking about how far this team has come since the rebuild started with the sell-off. You know, Fisher, Kelly, Ruutu, you know, Kovalev, get rid of them, get picks, get whatever you can.
Well, we're not done yet.
Well, not only are we not done, we're not using any of the assets we got. Those were all first-round draft picks that aren't even playing on this team yet. That's the first-round draft pick that got us Nason and Pumple.
Right.
And you know, other players like that. It was the trade.
Is there not, there's nothing up?
No. I mean, Zibanejad was our own draft pick.
That's right.
And the Anderson trade was for an asset we already had. And the Foligno trade was for an asset we already had. But for all the people who were moved out and draft picks that came back in, they're all in bingo or still or just finished their career in junior.
Yeah, and Pajot's are a pick too. Well,
yeah. So all of these assets are still
haven't
to
even
come.
Paid off yet.
Yeah, they're still to come. And this is how well the team's already playing. I like it.
This is where I've kind of disagreed with people because yes, it's the second year of a rebuild. It's no longer a rebuild. Next year, we need to be a contender. So forget rebuild. We're ahead of plan. We're stocked. Call us a contender next year.
I don't think anybody won't be.
If Series 2 goes well, we might be a contender this year too. Especially if Spezza comes back.
Yeah, you never know. And I mean, and I can't be prouder of the team, how well they've done up to now. But isn't that think of what can be coming in the next couple of years. This could get really good. And I mean, if we ever find we need something, we have so many assets right now that we can trade away some young talent for something that we really need. And not hurt ourselves in the long term doing that, because it's not a cupboard that's full, it's a whole pantry that's full. We got so much out there.
You know what we need is respect.
Oh, see, I thought you were setting yourself up for a soundbite.
No, I was going to see if I could get Pan to throw his back out again.
Oh, fine. Yeah.
This has been one hell of a week. It's been unbelievable. And I'm so happy with how well the team played against Montreal. And because there's nothing quite like being an underdog and dispatching the number two team in five games, which so few people were giving us a chance to do. Oh, Montreal is just too talented. Ottawa's got good goaltending, but they've been injured and they're young and they have no experience. And well,
snappy.
Exactly.
I think my favorite tweet that I saw was from a Leafer saying, yeah, well, we would have beat Montreal in four.
Yeah.
It's like you guys got your own little problems.
Only right four, not three?
Yeah. Jeez. Ridiculous.
LaBru sent us a soundbite too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to use that as the outro or do you want to use it now?
I haven't proofed it yet. Should we?
Oh.
Well, I don't care. Want to play it?
Sure.
Unadulterated fun. Let's see what you got.
I always had a mustache. No, about that? No, I never joke about that kind of stuff.
It's a dirty hit.
It's getting late. I got spit through. Tell me where the boy is. McLean.
Well, he already showed enough disrespect.
C'est un manque de respect total.
You'll be interesting.
Unappropriate comment. No respect for the players on the ice. No respect for his family in a stand.
goalie number 30?
Yeah.
That was a lack of respect.
Tough to explain. Really tough to explain. It's not supposed to happen like this.
I will do that every time.
Are you serious?
I don't want to be targeted.
A bug-eyed fat walrus.
But the thing that I don't like, that he's getting abused.
We're not giving him a freebie. There's already enough of that. Take the time out.
And those things happen in the playoff.
Guys know what they have to do.
Stupid, instigated by the Montreal Canadiens. That's interesting.
I say what I have to say.
This is another disrespectful thing, is it? To me, it's a major, major type of an offense. That's craziness, I say.
Totally agree with you.
We're gonna play hard. That's hockey. We defended ourselves. Direct elbows to the head. Player gets the puck shot at him. Office of Player Safety should be very busy tonight. It was humiliating. I think they were doing a real good job of that themselves. Classless, and what else am I? Go ahead, blame me. This is over.
Labrew, that was awesome. That summed up the entire series of and how much we like Coach McLean in one soundbite.
That was great.
Nicely done.
I love it.
I think that's a great ending. I don't have anything else left to talk about. You guys?
Nope.
All right.
Twitter.
Round two.
Yeah. We're off to round two. I really enjoyed having that much email to read tonight. There was some great feedback following the game last night, but some of the email was obviously familiar in that. Love getting it because it certainly gives us things to talk about, but it also knows that people are listening, which is nice. Please email your thoughts about either this series or the series that's coming up or anything else that you wanted to talk about to podcast@sensecallups.com. Visit the forums, sensunderground.com, game threads. There are also other threads about the playoffs and what's going on with the team and that sort of thing. And Twitter has certainly been fun. Today was an interesting day. We just passed 800 followers. Thank you very much, everybody. Keep them coming. It's always good. Lots of retweets going on. Which is, I guess, the best way to get people to know us, know about us. So glad to see that people like some of the stuff that's going out. Canuck, I think you now hold the record for the most retweeted thing we've ever put out.
I'm just going to go delete that tweet then.
It was like 54 retweets on that.
I think we're higher than that now.
Well done.
That's fun.
Well, lots to come. Sens are going to be resting. We're going to be resting, but we'll be back next week at some point with the... our next episode and the beginning of the next round of the playoffs. Until then, good night. Thanks for listening, folks.
I want Cook.
I want the Islanders.
And the truck door comes and then, no!